Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moed Katan, daf Yitzayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lernos Zechanesh, Nosolos Lupin Zoltzman. We are on Tedzayin Amid Beis, and we're right in the middle of the Amid. As the lines get wide, we're three lines down. We're up to the words in Nazifa Didan. Our Nazifa. Topic of discussion has been over the past couple of days a topic of Nidui, Cherim, and Shamta. Shamta is kind of more of a generic term, but there is basically, as we discussed, three levels of excommunication. The person is insolent. He shows insubordination. He shows insubordination to a Rav, to a Talmud, to a Beis Din. He just a little too much chutzpah. So based on the degree of chutzpah, so that's the kind of excommunication he's going to put in. The mildest form is what we referred to the other day. Yesterday also is Nazifa. Nazifa is kind of like it's a rebuke, it's a reprimand, it's a slap on the wrist. And then after that, then you get to the more intense version of excommunication, which is Nidui. Nidui is that he is going to be in excommunication, as we learned over the past couple of days. Person in Nidui, so he can't be within Dal Amas of him, he can't eat with him. Okay, he's cast out of the community, out of the society. And then finally, you have the repeat offender, who really not only is insubordinate, but does so again and again, and really shows no tshuva. He's really stubborn. So then there's cherim. Cherim is even in a more intense form. Cherim, what we learned the other day regarding cherim, is lo shonim lo. You can't learn with him. You can't hire a rabbi. He can't be hired out as a rabbi. He's really cast out. Okay, so those are the three different levels of excommunication. Yesterday we spoke about the process in which you go to Beis Din, you're subpoenaed to Beis Din, and what exactly the process is in terms of being in contempt of court. That was a big part of yesterday's discussion. Okay, we are on Tzayin Amud Beis. Just one other point to review, and that is that in Eretz Yisrael and Babel, the duration of Nazifa and Nidu aren't exactly the same. In Eretz Yisrael, you're Nidui for 30 days. You're Nazifa for a week. Okay, those are the numbers in Eretz Yisrael and Babel. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, everything's more intense. I'm sure we've noticed that over our lifetime. In Babel, things are a little bit more relaxed. So in Babel, we said that Nidui is a...
7 days.
Right, Nidui is a week. Nidui is 7 days. So they're right, correct, perfect. So that takes us right up to where we are now in the Gemara. So in Babel, what's Nazifa? What's the duration of Nazifa? That is where we are right now. Tzayin Amud Beis. Three wide lines down. Unazifa didan kamahava. So how long is Nazifa here in Babel? Chag Yuma. Okay, immediately the Gemara answers. The Gemara says it's one day. And now we're going to have stories. Episodes in the Gemara, they're going to point to this idea. So the first incident we're going to talk about is Shmuel Mar Ukva, who we're learning. Shmuel was the Rebbe, meaning the undisputed Talmud Chacham of that generation, of that period, of that area, was Shmuel. Mar Ukva sat in front of Shmuel for Amos. In other words, a healthy distance between them. But Shmuel was the undisputed Rebbe. But meanwhile, interestingly enough, Mar Ukva was the Beis Din. He was the head of the Beis Din. So as they went from the Beis Medrash to the court, so there was a change of a reversal of roles, where Mar Ukva becomes now the Rav. He's the Beis Din. And Shmuel now sits in front of Mar Ukva. And then the Gemara gives a description of how they carved out a place for Mar Ukva with mats, and he sat on it. Ki heched de lishtamin melei. So he'll listen to him. The way Rashi understands the Gemara here is that Mar Ukva still wants to hear what Shmuel has to say. Meaning Mar Ukva is the Av Beis Din. He's in charge of the court. But meanwhile, Shmuel's there. Shmuel's attending court. And Shmuel's obviously got a lot of smart things to say. Shmuel was the Talmud Chacham. And so Mar Ukva made it. He set it up so that on one hand he would preside over the court, but on the other hand he'd also get to hear what Shmuel has to say. Kol yumava malave le Mar Ukva l'Shmuel ad ushpize. Now every day court was adjourned, and Mar Ukva would walk Shmuel back home. He would escort him back home. Again, Shmuel was the Rebbe. Shmuel was the Talmud Chacham. So Mar Ukva, even though he was the head of the court, he made it his business to make sure that he'd escort him every day. Yumachad Itra Bedina. Now one day, so Mar Ukva just got lost in the case. Okay, it was a tough case, and his head was just totally in the case. And meanwhile, so Mar Ofer now is leaving the court. He's walking home, and he forgets about Shmuel, and so he doesn't pick Shmuel up. He doesn't walk Shmuel home, and the Gemara excusable because Mar Ofer's head was in the case. So, so now they get home, and Shmuel's been trailing behind Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva did not walk him home. And now Shmuel turns to Mar Ukva and he says, "Is it not clear to you?" Meaning, you should have walked me home, like you've done every day. Lishwalach Mar Batigrin. So literally, permit yourself in a dispute, in a fight, in a quarrel. So Rashi explains this to mean. You take a look at the top of Rashi. Rashi on the left-hand column, the top of the left-hand column. Havli Rishus Lamehader. Like, can you give me permission to go home? Meaning, a little bit sarcastic, like a little bit, what you did was not right. You didn't escort me home. So, Yadda Danaka Milsa Bedate. At that point, Mar Ukva totally understood that Shmuel was offended. And now, Nizifusa Benafshe Chad Yuma. So as a result of that, he put himself in a mild form of excommunication, Nizifa, for one day. Okay, so the incident, the episode over here is helping us see that in Bavel, Nizifa is one day. A second story. Aisisa Davayasve Bishvile. There was a woman who was sitting on the path. Have a Pashta Kara. And she extended her leg out into the path, so basically she wanted to obstruct traffic. Vika Minifa Chushlai. And she was doing some sort of work with produce. Okay. Anyway, but she was sitting everyone's way. So Vahava Khalavaz, the Tsurba Mirabana Velo Ichna'a Mikame. And now along comes the Talmud Chacham. She, for sure, her leg shouldn't have been out there to begin with, and she's not ready to retract her leg from the sidewalk. So Amar Kama Chatif Ha'isus. This young Talmud Chacham says, "Wow, this woman has a tremendous amount of chutzpah." Also, coming to Rav Nachman, he goes to front of Rav Nachman. Asayla Kame to Rav Nachman. She goes to Rav Nachman because she now understands that she was reprimanded, rebuked, and perhaps even excommunicated by this Talmud Chacham. So Amala Mishamet Shamaita Mipume. Mishamet Shamta Mipume. So Rav Nachman asks her one question, and that is, did you hear the word Shamta come out of his mouth? Amala Lo. So he says, no. She says, no, I didn't hear that word come out of his mouth. Amala, so he says to her, Rav Nachman says to this woman, Zili Nehugan Nizifusa Chadyuman Abanav Shech. Okay, so one day of Nizifa, that's what you'll observe. You're excommunicated, a mild excommunication for one day. Story number two, which again shows us that in Bavel, this Nizifa is one day. Story number three. Zucha Bartovia have a kafasik sidre, Kamadir of Yehuda. Zucha Bartovia was teaching in front of Rav Yehuda, Kimatalai Psuka, and they get now to a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. This is the 23rd parak of Shmuel Beis, and we're approaching the end of Malchus David. The Eila Devei David Achronim. These are the last words of David. Amalei Achronim Mechal Dika Rishonim. Now the fact that it says the last words Devei Achronim, so that means that they're Devei Rishonim. So what are they? Rishonim Ninu. So that was the question that was asked. Shasik velo armale velo midi. Now, the Zucher Bar Tovia was the one who was teaching. Rav Yehuda was the one who was asking. And armale achrenim echla. I'm sorry. So velo shasik velo armale velo midi. So he asked him a question. What is if David's mentioning Divrei Achronim? What's Divrei Rishonim? Mar Zutra didn't know the answer. So, I was Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda was the one who didn't know. So, how do Amalei Achronim Echal Dika Rishonim? And so he repeated the question. Rishonim Aynihu. So, Amalei Mai Daitech, the Loyad de Perusha de Aikrala Davar Abahu. So, why are you asking me again? I already told you once I don't know. You ask me a second time? You're taunting me? You're telling me that somebody who doesn't know the Pshat in this Pasuk is not a Gavar Abba. It's not a great man. Is that what you're doing? So Yada Nilka Anaka Milsa Bidate. So at that point he realized that he offended him by asking him a second time, and Nagbin Zivusa Banafshe Chadyuma. And so okay, once again he puts himself in Chayrim for one day. Okay, so three stories in a row, each one of them getting to the point that Nizifa and Bavel is but one day, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, where Nizifa is for 7 days.
Not really true, because here, all the three cases that they put themselves...
Self-imposed. It's self-imposed as opposed to...
Yeah.
Okay, but it could be that's also just the nature of Nizifa altogether. Okay, could be. Now you know the Gemara is not going to give up. meaning at this point in time, you follow enough Gemara, you realize the Gemara asks you a question. Now, the question itself was incidental to the main point. The point was the Zifa is one day. But as long as we ask the question, the Gemara is not going to let it go. Okay, what does it mean when David HaMelech says Divrei Achronim? What are the Divrei Rishonim? So the Gemara goes back now to one perek earlier. Vayidaber David LaHashem es Divrei Hashir Azos Bayal Mitzvah Hashem Aso Mikaf Kol Eivav Umikaf Shaul. So David speaks that the Shira, he sings a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him from all of his enemies, including Shaul. Shaul over here being identified as an enemy of David HaMelech. Now we certainly understand that Shaul, you know, at one point in time wanted to get rid of David and wanted to kill David. And okay, certainly we understand that. But Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu David Shira Ta'omer Ama Palaso Shaul Shaul. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset with David HaMelech. Don't sing about the downfall of Shaul. That's inappropriate. If we would have switched the roles, well, second time today, role reversal. If we would have switched around the roles, and if you were Shaul and Shaul were you in your position, so ibadati kama David mipanav, he would have knocked out so many Davids in front of him. Meaning that, again, it's the Gemara says it, so it's I'm a little bit hesitant to say it, but Shaul's greater than you, right? That's basically the point. Shaul's a much greater person than you are. Now, it happens to be Shaul was the right guy, just not the right time. In other words, whatever. Circumstances around Shaul, but really he was great. Greater than you. So don't sing about the downfall of Shaul. And now we understand Pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim, Perek Zion. So it says Shigayon LaDavid. Shigayon over here from the word Shogeh. I made a mistake. Asher Shar LaHashem al Divrei Kush Ben Yamini, that I sang a song about Kush Ben Yamini. Kush Ben Yamini being a reference to Shaul, meaning I was wrong. Like I thought he was an enemy, he was a bad guy. No, right? He wasn't good. Not only good guy, great guy. Kadosh Baruch Hu corrected David HaMelech. He was greater than you. So the Gemara says, and why do we refer to Shaul HaMelech as Kushi? Because he's distinguished. Just like a Kushi is distinguished with his skin color, so too Shaul HaMelech is distinguished with his skin, with his actions. He was an amazing person. And as long as we are on this topic of people being described as Kushi, we know the wife of Moshe was referred to as Kushi, that's not her name. Again, she's distinguished. Just like a Kushi is distinguished, she too is distinguished. Sidkiyahu was also described as a Kushi. And again, the point being the same. Sidkiyah is a very special human being. He's a special person. Mishuna is distinguished. One more of these. You to me, you the Jewish people are like Kushim. Yisrael v'chi Kushim shma v'halo Yisrael shma. Right? We're called Yisrael. So Ela ma Kushim mishuna ba'orav Yisrael mishuna memasei and mikol ha'omos. Again, we're distinguished. Okay, four different times in Tanakh where you see someone's being described as a Kushi to indicate that they're distinguished. Okay, and so basically now the Gemara is just going to stay on this a little bit longer. We have been describing now a couple of difficult psukim in the end of Shmuel Beis, Perichav Gimel, Perichav Beis. So we're going to stay now here in the Perichav Gimel of Shmuel Beis, just a little bit longer. Num David ben Yishai v'num agever who come all. So those last two words are really difficult to explain. What does that mean? Num David ben Yishai sheikim olah shel tshuva. What did David institute for the world? He instituted tshuva for the world. Meaning David came up with this idea of tshuva. Now he didn't come up with the idea of tshuva, meaning that's in the Torah. But in other words, he exemplified tshuva, and he basically made a path for everybody so that they could be bal tshuva. Amar alakei Yisrael li davar tzor alakim. I'm sorry, take a look at Rashi. Right, interesting Rashi. Important Rashi. Hey Kimol al tshuva. Rashi writes, Yehu shavt chila. He was the first one to do tshuva. Okay, now again, not the first one, well, Yehuda did tshuva. But v'nasan derech l'shavim k'darmina b'perkam davar azara lo David ra'i l'osa maisa. David really wasn't fit for that incident. Obviously, the Gemara, Rashi over here, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is referring to Bathsheba. In other words, really, David HaMelech, he was better than that. It's not normal that he did such a chait. Ela she'im chet yachid omrim lo klachet zol David. But the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in that position is so that now he could do tshuva and he can serve as a role model for the rest of us. Because if anyone sins, any one of us sins, so now what are we going to do? We look to David HaMelech. Rashi writes, Omer Mo, Klachet Zol David, Shemach Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oso Avon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to forgive David for what he did wrong. Af Atah Chozer B'tshuva. So the rest of us can for sure do tshuva. So Rashi quoting the Gemara Avodah Zarah, like David shouldn't, under normal circumstances where David was holding, he shouldn't have done such a chet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically pushed him in that direction to show the world, to show the rest of us what tshuva can do. Back to the Gemara, Amar Lekei Yisrael, Lida Vatsur Yisrael, Moshe Ba'adam, Tzadik Moshe Yiras Elokim. Okay, so again, more difficult psukim in the 23rd parak of Shmuel Beis. Maika Amar, Gemara wants to know what's going on over here. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hachi Kamar, Amar Lekei Yisrael, Lida Vatsur Yisrael, Ani Moshe Ba'adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I rule over human beings. Okay, it makes sense, he created us, okay, he rules us, good. But meanwhile, Mimo shall be. But who can rule? Who can control me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tzadik. Right? Tzadik can control HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shani goes there, Gzera, Umevatla. I can make a Gzera, but the Tzadik can be Mevatla the Gzera. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I created the world, I control the world, but ultimately, Tzadik also has some control as well. Again, just quoting Pesukim now from the end of Shmuel Beis. My Kamar again, what does the Pesuk mean? I'm Rabbi Abba Hachi Kamar. The Elish Mos Gvurasav Shol David. We're not talking about the people surrounding David. We're talking about David's abilities. Yoshe B'Shevas B'Shasha Yoshe B'Yeshiva Lo Haya Yoshe Al Gabi Karmu Ksosos El Al Gabi Karkam. When he went to go learn, so he didn't sit on a comfortable chair nor in pillows. He sat on the floor. The Chol Kamar Da'u Rabbi Ira HaYeiri Kayam. When his Rebbe Ira was alive, so when he was a Rebbe and he was teaching everyone, so Ira was sitting on pillows and uncomfortable chairs. Now when he died, and now David HaMelech is giving shir, right, Magid shir, so he's saying to the rabbis, and Hava Yosef Agabe Karka, and David HaMelech sat on the floor, Armulei Leisa Mara Karmuk Sasos, and so they said to him, you know, First of all, you're the king. But more than that, you're saying, shir, you're the Rebbe. Sit in a chair. So lo kabal aleh, he didn't accept it upon himself. Okay, he wanted to be on the floor. He was an anav. He was humble. Next, techak muni. Again, that's the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Amarav, amar lo kash baruch, hol vishpat atzmechate kamoni. So you lowered yourself so much, so you're going to be like me. Shani goes to gzera v'atam v'atla. I'll institute a gzera, but you'll be able to be mevat the gzera. Rosh HaShalishim Tehei, Rosh HaShalshalas Avos. And then you are the head of the three. What three are we talking about? The patriarchs. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you're going to be ahead of them. You're going to be in front of them. Gemara in Pesachim. Right, we remember it. There was a, we go to a Seuda, Lasid Lavo, in the future where there's a Seuda, and the Gemara over there describes how a question of who's going to lead the benching. And they pass around the cup, and everyone, for one reason or another, says, no, I can't bench because I did this, and I can't bench, and I did this. And finally, David HaMelech takes the cup, and he says, good, I'm going to bench, and I'm worthy of benching. So, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one of them pointed out that they have deficiencies, why they can't bench, and David HaMelech says, no, I have no deficiency. And the Gemara in of itself is really difficult to understand because David HaMelech did have a couple of, you know, his record was not clean, but the... But in the context of that Gemara, in the context of this Gemara, right, he's above them all, right? Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. It's interesting. Somebody shared this with me. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. That's how we start off with the Shemoneh Esrei, right? The Shemoneh Esrei starts with the Avos, Avraham and Yaakov, but before that, it starts with a pasuk of Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. Who wrote David HaMelech? Right, David HaMelech wrote that, so he's like above the Avos. Back to the Gemara, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Hu Adini Haitzani Kishai Yosef Osek B'Torah Hayam Adin Atzmok Etolas. Again, another cryptic pasuk that the Gemara is interpreting. So when David HaMelech would teach Torah, learn Torah, he would be Adin Atzmok. He would stretch himself out like a worm, meaning again on the floor, humble, right, subdued. Oh, you're right. Is that what you have to say? Good, I'll listen to you. In other words, he was totally not arrogant when learning. But meanwhile, v'shashiyosu melchama. But when he went out to war, he was like a tree. He was stiff. He was stubborn. He was a general. He's what a soldier needs to be. So when he threw the sword, so he was able to kill 800 people with one throw. Okay, killed the 800 with one throw. But meanwhile, he wanted 1,000. And you probably would have guessed, I'm going to make the lame joke of he's batting 800. Okay, which that's amazing. But in other words, he should have hit 1,000. Now, why should he hit 1,000? The pasuk says, "Dichsiv echad yirdaf echad le'elef." The pasuk says in Kisavo, it's part of the bracha, not the klala, but it's part of the bracha. Right? You're one person's going to chase 1,000. So, in other words, if we're compliant and we're doing everything right, so then one should chase down 1,000. Okay, that's the bracha mentioned in Parshas Kisavo. So David HaMelech says, "I threw the sword. I kill 800. That's good, but I should be hitting 1,000. So Yatza Basko Vama Rapid Dava Uriah Achiti. So Akash Baruch Hu explained to him, yeah, Uriah Achiti. Right, that knocked you down 200 points. Right? You should hit 1,000, but you have that on your record, and so you're not gonna hit 1,000, you're only gonna hit 800. Okay. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bered, Rabbi Chiyash Kvarako, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Rabbi Simlai, Bamrila, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabuna, Bamrila, Amar Rabuna Lichudei. Okay. A lot of attribution discussion, but in the meantime, Talmud shenida lichvodo niduya niduya. If the Talmud imposes an excommunication on somebody else, and lichvodo for his honor, so the excommunication is in force. Ditanya, in fact, we saw this in yesterday's daf, on the very top of Yizayin Amad Aleph. Menudah l'rav, menudah l'tamid, menudah l'tamid, ena menudah l'rav. That if the nidui was for the Talmud, that doesn't translate to the Rav. If the nidui was for the Rav, that automatically translates to the Talmud. L'Ravu deinu menuda l'kol yama menuda. Now that means as follows. That means that when the Talmud was, an insult was directed at the Talmud, and he imposed somebody in a cherem and a shamta and a nidui in some form of excommunication, it takes hold for everybody but the Rebbe. Meaning the Rebbe is not included in this excommunication, but it takes hold for everybody else. So now, what's the context? What are we talking about? Mila d'shmaya, meaning that he put somebody in cherem because the person was violating the Torah publicly and he was being mechal shem shemaim. If that was a scenario, if that's the context, so then you can't have a limited excommunication. At that point in time, the excommunication this person's placed in, even if it's a Talmud to put him in that excommunication, but it's a chil Hashem. Everybody has to abide by that excommunication. But rather, it was a direct affront on the Talmud, meaning the Talmud himself was directly offended, and has nothing to do with it. I mean, it has something to do with the Torah. Torah says you got to make sure that you're respectful to Talmid Chachamim. But it was a personal matter. It was not a mitzvah nisser. It was a personal matter between a guy and this Talmud. So at that point in time, he puts them in cherem. Almost everybody has to abide by the cherem, except for the Rebbe. The Rebbe does not have to abide by the cherem. I'm Rabbi Yosef Sobrera, Mirabanan Avid Dina Lanafshe, Bimilse Dipsikele, taking the law into your own hands. The Gemara has this discussion a couple places. The Gemara says that if you have a Yam Tam Chacham, so he can be Ovedin, he can execute the law. Put those words together. He can execute the law on something that to him is totally clear. Take a look at Rashi over here. Second line. Dina denafshei da amalei at mechayev tolei hachi v'hachi. So from Rashi, it sounds like the context of this gemara is money. It's a monetary law. So in other words, Reuven makes a claim against Shimon. Tam Chacham says, oh, you know what? Reuven's right. Again, it has to be clear to him. The gemara says. But once it's clear to him, so then he can execute law and he can go over to. To the defendant and say, oh, you know what, he's right, you're right, and he can extract money. There was a particular Talmud Chacham who had a bad reputation. Okay, so Sanu Shmuane, we've seen this expression a couple times in the Gemara. Usually it means that he's doing sexually inappropriate actions. Okay, Rashi doesn't say that over here, But generally speaking, that's what it means. And based on the context of this discussion, of this episode, that's probably an accurate translation. Am Rabbi Yehuda Heichel Le'Avid. So now Rabbi Yehuda, okay, Rabbi Yehuda the Amara. Rabbi Yehuda was a student of Rav, a student of Shmuel. So now he is in a bit of a bind. He doesn't know what to do with this Talmud Chacham who is acting inappropriately. So Lishamte Tzricha Le'Rabbanan. So on one hand, we'll put him in Cherem, but you know he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Magid Shir. Like in other words, he needs to teach Torah. So he's needed in the yeshiva. But lo l'shamte kamiskal shmei d'shmaya. On the other hand, if we don't put him in Cherem, so that's Chilul Hashem. So didn't know what to do. So Amalei l'Rabba Barachana midishmielach baha. Amalei hacham Rav Yochanan. So Rabba Barachana quotes Rav Yochanan. My dechsev kisif sekon yishmu das. Visori yavakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvakos. Quoting the pasuk in Malachi, the pasuk says, "Do you know when you go learn Torah from somebody when he conducts himself like a malach? Im doma harav la malach Hashem yavakshu Torah mipiv. If he behaves like a malach, so then you learn Torah from him. The im lav al yavakshu Torah mipiv. But if he does not behave like a malach, so then you should have no interest in learning Torah from him. Should not learn Torah from him." Okay. That made his dilemma pretty clear. Meaning now he knew what to do. So he had a Talmud Chacham, but he acted inappropriately, and based on the Pasuk of Malachi, we should have nothing to do with him. He should not be learning Torah. And furthermore, Shamte Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda put him in Cherem. Okay, Lasof Ichlash Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda gets sick. Now the Gemara does not correlate. The Gemara does not describe any type of cause and effect. Okay, it's not totally clear, but okay, Rav Yehuda gets sick. Also, Rav Shalebei, so the Chacham come over to him and say, "Nu, how are you doing?" Va'asu iunami bahadayo, and this Talmud Chacham was placed in Cherem is now also part of the Bikur Cholim contingency. And Karchazya Rav Yehuda Chayach. Rav Yehuda sees this man who Rav Yehuda himself put in Cherem, and he smiles. Amalei lo mistach deshamti lahu gavra ela ichuche nami chayach bi. Not enough that you put me in Cherem, but now you're laughing at me? Amalei labididcha mechaycha ela dechi azil lahu ama bedisu daite. I'm sorry. Bedichei daite. Dafu lo gavra kavasech lo chanif alei. So he says, look, I'm not laughing at you. Here's what I'm happy about. I'm going to go to Shemayim, and I'm going to be comforted by the fact that I didn't violate Chanifa. I was not over on flattery, meaning you deserve to be put in Cherem. I did it. Took a little bit of courage, but I did it, and it was the right thing to do, and that's why I'm laughing. Not laughing, but smiling. That's why I'm happy. Nachna Shed Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda dies. Okay. So now also the Bay Midrasha. So now he goes to the Beis Medrash, meaning this particular Talmud Chacham who was placed in Cherem by Rav Yehuda for acting inappropriately. So he goes to the Beis Medrash, Amalu Sharali, and now he asks the Talmid Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, "I need to be pardoned. I'm in excommunication, placed by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's no longer with us. Like, I need to be released." Amalei Rabbanan Gavra Dechashivka Rav Yehuda Leika Hacha Delishrolach. Here's the problem. We have no replacement value to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is was on a level that we just have nobody on that level. So in theory, you could be released from your cherem. Just practically speaking, we don't have anyone to do so. So Elazila Gabi to Rav Yehuda Nesia. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Rav Yehuda Nesia. Okay, not to be confused. It's a different Rav Yehuda. It is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rav Yehuda Anasi. Masada Mishnayos. So this is his grandson. He also just came up recently as well. Delishulach. So he will, or at least theoretically, could release you from your cherem. Azalakame. So he goes to Amar Leila Rav Ami Pokayim Bedine. So he says to Rabbi Ami, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Nesia commissions Rabbi Ami to investigate the matter. Imi Baila Mishrelei Sharelei. So and if after your investigation you find that he could be released from his cherem, so do so. And Ayin Rabbi Ami Bedinei Sarva LeMishrelei. So Rabbi Ami now does an investigation, all right, submits his report, and now, so good. So they're ready to release him from his cherem. Amad Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Araglav. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni stands up, and he's going to protest. Amar V'amar. Umashiv Chasho Beis Rabbi Lo Nagu Chachamim Kalos Rosh B'nidu Yeha Shaloshanem. The maidservant of Rabbi, she gets a lot of play in the Gemara. The maidservant of Rabbi, she put somebody in Cherem, and that Cherem stuck for 3 years. So Yehuda chaverino achas kama v'chama, and now our colleague Rav Yehuda put someone in cherem. Let's not be so light in just lifting the cherem.
Am Rebbe,
we're going to get back to that. Am Rebbe Zera mind to come unto asa ha'idna. So ha'isaba bebe midrasha. How fortuitous that it happens to be that today Rosh Moshe Bar Nachmani is in the Beis Medrash. Now apparently from the context of the statement, it sounds like he wasn't often in the Beis Medrash, and today he just happens to be here. Coincidence? So they're not assuming it's a coincidence. The Hakama Shani Lo Asa. I'm saying context. I'm sorry. The Gemara says it right. He hasn't been here for years. So Shema Mina Lo Mi Bai Le Mishrelei. So it seems clear, right? They are looking beyond the coincidence. It seems clear that it is it's the will of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he does not want him to be released from Cherem. So Lo Sharelei. So even after Rabbi Yama commissioned the report, and even after they were ready to release him from Cherem, they do not, based on the statement of the protest of Rav Shmuel. And the end to the story, the epilogue to the story, is that he's leaving the Beis Medrash, meaning this Talmid Chacham was placed in Cherem. He's leaving the Beis Medrash, he's crying, and along comes Zibi and stings him, but also Hamakom Vishachiv, and he dies. And if you're thinking right now, Mida Kenegan Mida, so you're in good company. That's the top tosis on the Amud. Top tosis on the Amud. V'tarkei nashchu a'amaso v'yesh mefarshim mida keneged mida mishum denechshad biznus, because of his inappropriate illicit behavior. So mida keneged mida. So he got stung by oso hamakom. Ailuhu lemarasa dechasida. So now we're on the second epilogue, and that is the burial of this particular Talmid Chacham. So they take him to the cave of the chasidim below kabluhu alayhu. So they didn't accept him. Okay, anyone who has any dealings with the Chevra Kedisha of Yerushalayim, you can totally see this. See this side of the Gemara. So they said they didn't accept him. No, we're not taking him. Lama'arasa, I'm sorry. Ailuhu lama'arasa didayane. So they take him now to the cave of judges. Okay, so this is now where the judges get buried. Obviously, it's a lower level type of burial. But the kibluhu. Oh, okay, good. They took him in. My time. So now, why did they take him in? So this next couple words of the Gemara is going to get a little tricky, but in other words, he was accepted for burial in the Ma'ara, in the cave of the judges. Okay, which is still...
Doesn't death provide mechila for something?
So it still is a high level. So why was he allowed entrance? So now, the next words of the Gemara is, De'avad k'Rabbi Eli. So he did like Rabbi Eli. Okay, now, I'll just read the Gemara first, and then I'll go over two possible ways of understanding this Gemara. David ki Rabbi Eli, he did like Rabbi Eli, the Tanya Rabbi Eli, Omer im Roa Adam, she Yitzra mit Gaber Allah, if a person sees his Yitzra is getting the best of him, Yelch l'machum she'im akir nesos, he should go to a place that no one recognizes him, v'yobash charim, he should wear black clothing, v'satesh charim, and wrap himself up in black clothing, v'yasa mashali b'chafetz, and do what his heart desires, v'ayi chal shem shemayim b'faresya, and don't be mechal shem shemayim b'faresya, do not desecrate God's name in public. Okay. Now, period, that's the end of the story, and we're going to move on to another story. But what does that mean? Meaning, he because he behaved like the statement of Rabbi Eli, so therefore he gained entrance. What? So if you take a look at Tosos over here, well, before Tosos, take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, the Avak Rabbi Eli, Behani Shmuos Ra'os. Meaning that, the way Rashi presents the Gemara, is that even though he did behave in a sexually illicit manner, and he did yield to his temptation, but at least he did so in the way that was in the way that was suggested by Rabbi Eli. He didn't do it publicly, he did it privately, he went to another community, he dressed in black, he was totally unrecognizable as a Talmid Chacham, and that's how he went about it. And so because of that, so therefore he was allowed entrance into the cave of the Dayanim. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos over here, take a look at Tosfos. Third Tosfos on the Amud, Da'avad Ad-Rabi Alai, Olakach Log, and now, first of all, even before we read any more of Tosfos, look at that first word of Tosfos. Da'avar Ad-Rabi Alai. Right, not with a dollar, but with a resh. That's an important difference. Olakach Log Kibluhu. And the way Tosfos understands it is, we're not explaining why he got accepted into the cave of the Dayanim. We're explaining, the Gemara is explaining why he got rejected from the cave of the Chasidim. And the reason why, this is now Tosas understanding, Kachlo Kiblu, Afa Pisha Haya Tamid Chacham. In other words, he was a Tamid Chacham. He really did belong in that first cave. But because he was over Rabbi Eli, in other words, he didn't behave the way Rabbi Eli suggested, so that's why he wasn't granted. Okay. Also, a somewhat difficult explanation in that if he would have behaved like Rabbi Eli, so then he would have been granted entrance. So, both from Rashi and from Tosfos, it seems like what the Gemara is suggesting over here is a means in which a person can yield to a temptation by behaving like Rabbi Eli, and then. Take a look at the Yesh Garcina now continuing the Tosfos, the Avad Kirabi Alai Mishum Hachi Kiblu Dainei. And then Tosfos offers Rashi's Pshat. That's not Avar, it's Avad with a Dalid. And what the Gemara is explaining is why was he gained entrance into the second cave for burial. But now take a look at the next Tosfos, the fourth Tosfos on the Amun. Imir Adam Shiitzum is Gabra Allah, the Kus of Rach. So Tosfos over here calls Rabbeinu Chananu. Chas v'shalom lo huto lo lasos avera. Meaning what the Gemara over here is not allowing is a means, a mechanism in which a person can yield to temptation. Right? His Yetzer Hara is strong and he wants to yield to temptation. So Rabbeinu Chananu understands the Gemara that this is not a actual means in which a person can yield to temptation, but rather, so Ella Ayide Kach Yechnali Boba Perakamadi Kedushin Perashni. And Tosfos says, take a look in the beginning of the Gemara in Kedushin, where I explained over there, this is that by the time he's wearing the black clothing and going to another community, he'll take a look at the mirror and he says, what on earth am I doing? What? Right? This is crazy. In other words, the effort I need to expend, the energy I need to expend in terms of giving into my temptation, he's going to get embarrassed, he'll get humiliated, and he'll realize this is all ridiculous. And hopefully by that point in time, he'll understand that he should not give in to his temptation. That's the way the Rach understands the Gemara of Rabbi Eli. Granted, admittedly, that's not the Pashup Pshat, that's not the simple Pshat of Rabbi Eli, but Rabbeinu Chananu says that that's the correct way to understand it. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Shivcha Shal Beis Rabbi, Mahi. Okay, Ben was wondering, the Gemara is not going to make a statement and just leave it, although sometimes the Gemara does. But the Gemara over here is going to pick up on it. The maidservant of Rabbi put someone in Cherem, and it lasted for 3 years. Or why? What happened? So the Gemara says, "Dam to the Bei Rabbi Chazilahu Gavra to have a mache live no gadol." So the maidservant of Rabbi saw somebody hitting his son, and his son was older. And Amra lehave ahu gavra b'shamta, and she says, "You can't hit your kid when he's older." Okay, hitting your kid when they're younger. So you speak to the professionals. Okay, in other words, okay, that's you'll get guidance from somebody else. But hitting them when they're older, that's an issur. That you're not allowed to do. So, dekavra mishum lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. You're violating the issur in the Torah of lifnei iver. Because if you hit them when they're older, what are they going to do? They're going to hit you back. And when they hit you back, so they're violating an issur in the Torah. Right? A kid who hits his parent and causes a wound, it's a capital offense. Okay, so you and by you hitting the older son, you're inciting him to do that. So you're over here in violation of lifnei iver. So that's an issur that you can't do. The tiny lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. So b'makalov no gadol kasav ben daber, and the Torah is describing hitting a son who's older, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em. You can't hit your son when they're older. So she sees somebody doing it. She puts them in a cherem, and now just reminding ourselves what we saw earlier. That cherem lasted for 3 years.
But my question is, how could a woman be qualified to? Is it only like a quarter of three or a?
No, it sounds like the cherem could be levied by somebody who's. Who's the
Odeh? Anybody could put anybody else in Chara?
She was a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, however that whatever that means. Meaning, I hear your question.
That's a serious thing. To
correct.
Say.
Agreed. Right. Maybe because she was connected with Rebbe, she had the authority. Maybe that also is a consideration. Your question's good. I'm not totally sure. Reish Lakish Hava Menater Pardesa. A Reish Lakish was guarding a field, also a gavra v'kachil te'ene. So a guy comes along and starts eating the figs on the tree. They didn't belong to him. So Rama be'kala v'lo ashkach be. So now Reish Lakish is yelling and screaming, hey, what are you doing? Now, by the way, just the irony of the story, Reish Lakish himself, in his previous occupation, he would have been that guy. Okay, but... Okay, that's the, you know, built an irony in the story. But anyway, but lo ashkach bay. So, but still, like the guy who was ignoring Reish Lakish, Amalei Avu Gavur Bishamtas. The Reish Lakish says, okay, put him in chayrim. So he does so. Amalei. Now I love this, by the way, because we Jews have a little bit of chutzpah. Here's a good example. Adar Amalei Avu Gavur Bishamta. So the guy says to Reish Lakish, I'm in chayrim. No, you're in chayrim. So imamon is chayavtulach nidu imin is chayavtulach. He says, look, I'm a thief. Okay, let's admit it. I took the things that don't belong to me. Good, I'm a ganav. That doesn't mean you have the right to put me in chayrim. Meaning, as a thief, what's the punishment in the Torah? I pay back. So okay, you want to take me to Beis Din? Fine, take me to Beis Din. But you can't just simply put me in chayrim. Although in defense of Reish Lakish, although the Gemara will not defend Reish Lakish, but in defense of Reish Lakish, he didn't listen to Reish Lakish. I mean, Reish Lakish said to stop, and he didn't listen to him. So you could make an argument, although the Gemara doesn't, I don't know why, but you could make an argument that it wasn't for the theft, it was for the ignoring Reish Lakish, that he deserves to be in Chayrim, but doesn't sound that way from these incidents. Also, Labei Medrash Amalei, Shalom Nidui, Shalchai Nidui. And they go to Beis Medrash, and interestingly enough, they rule in favor of the guy, the thief. The thief, he's right. Reish Lakish, you had no right to put him in chayrim. He stole, but that doesn't mean you put him in chayrim just because he stole. And not only that, but when you illicitly put somebody in chayrim, you're put in chayrim. Meaning, chayrim, it's good. Meaning, it totally speaks to me this idea that chayrim is very dangerous. Meaning, it's very powerful. You can't just simply go around saying, you're in chayrim, you're in chayrim, you're in chayrim, with no consequences. So the idea of the Gemara is that you got to be careful. Meaning, you pull the trigger on chayrim, so it's going to go off. And if it doesn't hit him, it's going to bounce back and it's going to hit you. So you got to be careful about this. It's not, again, we do very little of this nowadays. But this idea of chayrim, it's a powerful idea, and it just simply isn't that, oh, you know what, no, the chayrim, nothing happened. No, something happened. So either the guy is going to get put in the chayrim, or the person who issued the chayrim is going to be placed in it. Yeah. So now they say to Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Reish Lakish said so good, so now what do I do? So they say to Reish Lakish, okay, find that guy again. Allow him to release you from chayrim. Lo yadana le. So Reish Lakish says, look, he's just a guy, I don't know who he is. So Zilagabe Nesia Delishralach. So now they go to Reish Lakish and say to him, okay, here's what you have to do now. You're going to have to go to the Nasi. You're going to go to the leader of the Jewish people, and he's going to release you. Ditanya will enter the Baisa. Niduhu veinu yodeh, mean niduhu. Someone places you in chayrim. Correctly, accurately, meaning you deserved it. But the problem is now is that you don't know who did it, so yelechetel Nasi v'yater lach niduyo. So you go to a Nasi and he'll release you.
If Reish Lakish doesn't know the guy, nobody else knows the guy. How did the guy publicize that this guy was in chayrim?
No, I don't know. I don't know what Reish Lakish's game plan was. Meaning if his chayrim was...
If they don't know who the guy is, right. How could everybody know that the chayrim right. was known?
Understood.
How was it enforced?
Understood. But it did afford the Gemara to make this point. Meaning this point that if you don't know who the person is who placed you in chayrim and you want to get released, so you go to the Beis Din. So I'm not sure, but
the question is, besides that guy himself, who else is abiding by this chayrim?
Right.
They don't know him. The guy's like a nobody, and they can't even find the guy. So how could anybody?
But again, we saw already a number of times throughout this discussion where people imposed it on themselves, realizing that they were in the wrong, and they imposed it upon himself. It sounds like from this that Reish Lakish was totally prepared either to find the guy to put him in chayrim, or as he learned as he got to court, no, really, Reish Lakish, you deserve to be a chayrim, and he was totally ready to impose it on himself. In Usha, they instituted. You're going to see a lot of that throughout Gemara, right? Usha was one of the places where the Beis Din was exiled to, and then they made the following institution in Usha. If you have an Av Beis Din who was Sarach, made a mistake, right? We're all human. Even the Av Beis Din. So he makes a mistake and he does something wrong, so you don't put him in chayrim. So sit in your house. Meaning, it's not an official chayrim, it's a non-official chayrim, and you know, take a recess and you'll come back. But if he's a repeat offender at that point in time, you can't just simply say, look, I know you're a man who is obviously in an important position, you're the Av Beis Din, that already this is not a second time, like we have no choice, we have to put you in chayim. Or please, the Rish Lakish, the Amir Rish Lakish, Tamachachim Shesar Chayim Ananda Nosam Befar Hesir. Now Rish Lakish happens to be of the opinion that if you have an Abbeis Din, so Tamachachim, so, and he does something which is inappropriate, so you don't publicly put him in chayim, Shenemar V'chishal Tayyem V'kashal Gam Navi Imach, Laila Kisao Kalaila. You do it so, but you do so privately. Marzucha Chasida, when a Tamachachim was needed to be put in Chayrim, so what he would do is that he would first put himself in Chayrim, and then he would put the Tamachachim in Chayrim. Meaning, you just felt uncomfortable.
Isn't Chayim a community event? That a community decides that this guy is going to be outlawed, that they're going to...
Right, so it's...
So how could it be like a private matter?
It sounds like from all these Gemaras that a Talmud Chacham has the authority to levy a Chayim against somebody else. It's a simple pshat in the Gemaras.
To enforce it, it takes a community to enforce it. The Chayim is...
I understand, the community has to accept it.
He doesn't go to me and he doesn't...
No, it's not a question of acceptance, but a question of enforcement. You know, people have to avoid this guy. If you don't know the guy is in Chayim, how could they avoid him?
He does it himself. He imposes himself, so he's
going to
give away like he's...
Let's go on. Just I'd like to try to finish up. We'll talk after. So and then when he would go home, he would release himself. And then afterwards he would release the other person from the chayim as well. So in other words, again, it's just this idea that, you know, it's uncomfortable when you have to take someone who's a Talmud Chacham and put him in Chayrim. And again, Reish Lakish's solution was, don't do it publicly. Marzutra's solution was, do so, but before he would put anyone else in Chayrim, he'd first put himself in Chayrim. Just this, like, it's this, like, very, like, it's tentative. It's like, I understand, I don't want to put a Talmud Chacham in Chayrim, but we'll have to do so, just with some, you know, some caveats. Amrav Gidol Amrav Talmud Chacham Enad Alatmo Meifal Atmo. A Talmud Chacham can impose it upon himself, the excommunication, and he could also release himself. And Rapapa says, look, here I did good. I never put a Talmud Chacham in Chayrim. Okay, it's not that I didn't have the opportunity, not that I wasn't required to do so, but here's my move. He had the Ma'arava Mimne Anigda Ditzor Merabanan Velo Mimne Ashamta. So what I did is, it's very simple. I just whipped him. Meaning that I didn't actually put him in Chayrim, but basically, in other words, Chayrim is to be socially ostracized from the community. That's tough. And interesting, the Gemara says, given the choice between that or, you know, we'll tie you up, we'll whip you a couple times. Okay, the whipping's better, right? It hurts, but it's over. My Shamta. Okay, Ben, you told me this yesterday. My Shamta. What is Shamta? What does the words actually mean? I'm Rav Shame Misa. Okay, you're given like a label of death, meaning Shamta means you're dead. Okay, it's like a curse. It's a klala. Ushmul Amar Shmama Yihya. Another interpretation, Shmama. You're going to be like desolate. Okay, Umehanya Bay Ki Tichya B'Tanura. It's effective. It's like the cement of the oven. Meaning it's very effective. It goes in or to all 248 limbs of the human body. It exits out of 248 limbs. Kishi nechnes dechsiv aisair cherem cherem begamachu masam varabim shmona havo. The word cherem itself gamachu is 248. So that means that when you issue a cherem against somebody, it's a curse on all of his limbs. Ukishi nechnes. I'm sorry. Sorry, skip the line. So kishi yotza, and when leaving, dechsiv berogaz rachem tiskor rachem begamachu achiyavo. And interestingly enough, the words cherem and rachem, same letters. And what's Rachmanus? Compassion. The cherem is going to leave you. Amar Rav Yosef Shari Shamta Agenufta Dekaba. We place the cherem on the tail of a dog. Okay, now this Gemara obviously is going to really require us to think about what cherem actually is. Meaning, but it's a curse. It's a form of a curse. And if anything needs a curse, so you curse it in. And our curses aren't that effective, but in the good old days, they were very. The Edida Avda. Now, Kaaba, the Gemara goes on to explain what was the context of this, that we put a chem on the tail of the dog. A particular dog was eating the shoes of the Chachamim. They put the dog in cherem. So the tail of this dog burst in flames. And again, it's a curse. It's really a curse. Hahu alama. One more. Let's do one more. Hahu alama davikam esarle lahutzur beramirabanan. There was a bully who was bullying this Talmid Chacham. Also coming to Rav Yosef, he goes. Talmid Chacham goes to Rav Yosef. Amalei zol shamte. So he says, put him in cherem. Amalei mistafina meine. He says, put him in cherem. Are you kidding? I'm terrified. He's a bully. Amalei. I know. I leave this room and I go to high school, and Baruch Hashem, it happens to be the high school. Right? It's not like when I was a kid. We have very few bullying issues, thank God. But anyway, Amalei Mustafina Mene, Amalei Shkila Psichale Koshik Psichale. So write it down. Write down the Cherem. Write down the Cherem. So he says Koshik in the Mustafina Mene. Are you kidding? It's worse. Putting things in writing. Amalei Shakel Achte Bekada. He says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to write it down. You're going to put it in a jug. The Achte Bekavre, and you're going to bury it. The Kari Be Afishipur Be Arben Yome blow shofar 1,000 times, 40 days. Asa Vehachi Padakada Umis, and he does so, and the jug bursts, and the person and the bully dies. So Ama Mashpur, I'm sorry. Umis alama, and this bully dies. Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this very. You know what? No, I'm sorry. Let me just get to the two dots. Yeah, I see. So my shipure, why? What's the significance of shofar shenifrai mimenu? The word shofar is connected with the word shenifra, meaning it can pay back. So my tavra. So I'm sorry. Shenifra mimenu my tavra. Why when we blow the shofar do we blow a broken sound like what we call shvarim or trua? I'm Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Yehuda tavre bate rame. So in other words, it's to break. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Kol Makum Shenasnu Chachamim Meineim Omisa Ooni. The Chachamim place their eyes on somebody, the person dies, or he's impoverished. It breaks the individual. That's why we blow the Shvarim. Okay, we'll stop here.